Oh, who's going to lead the New Orleans Pelicans? Oh, can't wait for the new coach to take over. Just like we said last year. Can't help but laugh. I'm sorry, Pels fans. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry this morning. I am. I wish your team wasn't this way. I wish they didn't conduct themselves like this. But yet here they are. Yet here they are. Sam Van Gundy doesn't even last a year. A year. No one's punking the New Orleans Pelicans. Well, that didn't work out. Oh, my God. Oh, good morning and welcome to RP3. You just got to laugh about these things. It's not even worth being angry about if you're a Pels fan or frustrated. I saw a lot of anger on Twitter yesterday about the Pels, and I get it. You're frustrated about how the franchise is not being ran. I get it. I do. I understand. But you just get to the point where it's just laughable. And that's, I said it all season. This team is a lot closer to being Sacramento and Minnesota than it is to being a respectable playoff franchise. And I was told, no, trust David Griffin. It's only the first year Stan Van Gundy's tenure. Uh-huh. Okay. Good morning. Welcome to RP3 and Company. I'm your host, Raymond Parts III, better known as RP3. I'm joined here in the First South Farm Credit Studios by a man who went with horizontal stripes today. That's a bold look, bold color palette, but my man's feeling himself this morning. This is the one and only, his producer, Nick Diaz. Nick, good morning, sir.
I've been wearing this shirt for over a month.
I feel comfortable enough now in our relationship to be able to comment on your wardrobe.
I see. Okay, that makes sense.
Not everyone can pull off the horizontal stripes.
I'm not sure I can, but here we go.
When you're the three Bs, like I am, big, bald, beautiful, certain clothes you can't wear. Horizontal stripes, not in the wheelhouse. Makes me look larger, yes. Larger. Go vertical stripes. I've learned things over the years. Of what not to wear.
I wish I had more vertical stripes in my wardrobe, but I don't know. They just make more.
Buddy, you're the producer of RP3 and Company and Footnotes. You just go to a local store and get a line of credit. You'll find. They're like, oh, time out. You know Kevin Foote? You know RP3? We're going to make you pay more. No, I'm just joking.
I can do a name drop?
No one's going to. Foote, yeah. You can name drop Foote all day long. Everyone knows Kevin. Interesting sidebar story. We'll get back on track. Every high school, I do believe, in the Acadiana region has some sort of framed or poster of a Kevin Foote story about one of their athletic programs somewhere in the school. I noticed it the first time I went to STM, and then once I started going to other schools, and I was like, I'll go to Karen Crow. There's a story by Kevin Foote on the wall. There's a story by Kevin Foote on the wall. He's been doing this so long. Man's been an institution. He's been covering stuff since like the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah. He was writing for the Advertiser when he was in high school.
That's impressive.
Yes. Man's an institution. Beloved. Just to let you know. When you start going out to those high schools in the fall and stuff like that, you just start paying attention. When you go to actual school, like outside the gymnasium where the trophy case is at and stuff like that, where basketball gyms are at, yeah, you'll see all types, or in field houses, you'll see all types of Kevin Foote documentation of that school's, one of their programs.
I'm excited about getting involved in the high school football scene, basketball scene, locally. Getting to know it.
Uh-huh. Let's get back to those Pelicans. So, David Griffin, I'm just going to say it, has done a piss-poor job. It's been 2 years, and he's done an awful job. And you were gifted Zion Williamson, yes? You didn't do anything to win the lottery. That doesn't take skill. That doesn't take expertise. You won the lottery. And you were gifted Zion Williamson. So you get Zion in his big white suit. Crowd goes crazy. Fans get excited. Season tickets start to get sold. Now, mind you, even when they had Anthony Davis, you could ride a motorcycle inside the Smoothie King Center and not hit anybody. It was just empty cavern for basketball. So people got excited. You promised a lot of things. You came with the pedigree of winning what you did in Cleveland, but I'll get to that because that's a little overblown. It has been for a while. But you make all these promises. And the NBA did everything in its power to get the Pelicans into the playoffs, not once, but twice. They allowed the Pelicans, when they rebooted the season and they decided to go to the bubble down in Orlando during Zion's rookie season, a season where Brandon Ingram became an all-star, and they constructed the team the way they did, and you had Zion, and you had B.I. and Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball. You brought in Derek Favors as a veteran presence. You brought J.J. Redick in as a veteran presence. And the NBA, because of the reboot, you go from having one of the most difficult schedules to having the easiest. The easiest. And you pee all over yourself when you're down in Orlando. The playoffs, they even changed the playoff format to make it easier for the Pelicans to get in. You don't even have to make the playoffs. We'll create this play-in tournament. We're going to give you the easiest schedule, and the only thing you have to do is win enough games to get into the play-in tournament. Right there on a silver platter. There you go. And the Pelicans looked awful. Just absolutely dreadful. Don't make the playoffs. But people are like, hey, you know what? It's in the bubble, right? It's during COVID. So another offseason comes. David Griffin retools the roster yet again. He first gets there. He pulls off the Anthony Davis trade, where he gets B.I., Lonzo Ball, and Josh Hart in return, and a bunch of picks for Anthony Davis. You could say returns are mixed on that. In 2 years, Lonzo Ball is still wildly inconsistent. He got better, but he's still wildly inconsistent. Are you going to pay him what the open market is going to give him? You still have a starting point guard who struggles with a shot. B.I. was an all-star in year one. Year two, he slipped a little bit. Probably that's more of trying to deal with how to play in a new coach's system and play with Zion on the floor the whole time. Okay, I buy it. Josh Hart, you don't give an extension to, even though he sometimes plays as the hardest guy on the court. And then you ship out some guys and you bring in some new guys. Once again, David Griffin parts ways with Alvin Gentry. He brings in Stan Van Gundy. That's his guy. No one forced him to hire Stan Van Gundy. He chose Stan Van Gundy. He could have went in different directions. Apparently, reports are that he wanted Ty Lue. That was his number one because Ty Lue won a championship with him in Cleveland as the head coach. So he wanted Ty Lue. Ty Lue didn't want to come to New Orleans. Ty Lue wanted to stay in L.A. and coach the Clippers. Okay? So the backup plan was Stan Van Gundy. And here's my frustration with David Griffin. When you take over, you decide to stick with Alvin Gentry. You know Alvin Gentry. You know what Alvin Gentry brings to the table. He's an old veteran coach who David Griffin knows from their time in Phoenix together. You knew exactly the type of coach Alvin Gentry was. You knew exactly what he brought to the table, yet you decided to retain him as your head coach and you parted ways with him. So you have a chance to bring in a coach that's going to have your vision. Did you not pay attention to who Stan Van Gundy is? Stan Van is the same coach that he was in Miami when he led him to the conference finals, but he rubbed some of the younger players the wrong way, rubbed Shaq the wrong way, and got shown the door, and then they will and win an NBA finals after he leaves. He goes to Orlando. He's able to develop some young talent like Dwight Howard. Okay, Jameer Nelson. He makes Orlando, takes him all the way to an NBA finals. It doesn't work out there. Him and the big man part ways. Dwight kind of threw him under the bus more than a few times. And then he did, let's be honest, a poor job in Detroit. He was also part of the front office there. Did a good job there. So you know who Stan Van is. What he brings to the table. You hired him. That's your guy. You inherited Alvin Gentry. You could have parted ways with him, but you didn't. Because you had a working relationship with him in Phoenix. So you decided to stay with Alvin Gentry. That didn't work out. NBA gifted you an appearance into the playoffs, into the play-in tournament. You didn't take advantage of it. The roster that you helped construct with the three Lakers additions and bringing in Derek Favors and J.J. Redick didn't work. Reboot. Part ways with Alvin Gentry, bring in Sam Van Gundy. Part ways with Derek Favors. You bring in Steven Adams. He's been injured, hasn't worked. You ship off in the middle of the season, J.J. Redick and Nicole Melli. Shout out to Melli. He's over here on the calendar for the month of June in the First South Farm Credit Studios. That didn't work. So you ship off Melli and J.J. J.J. became a distraction. By the way, you went out and got J.J. Redick. That was one of the moves you made as the man in charge of basketball operations. So after a season and a half, you have to ship out J.J. Redick. You ship out Nicole Melli. You bring in Steven Adams. Steven Adams doesn't work. You give him that big old contract. He's been injured. Hasn't been wildly effective in this team. You trade Drew Holiday because Drew Holiday sees the writing on the wall before the start of the season. You trade him to Milwaukee. And in return, yeah, you got a bunch of draft picks just like you did in the Lakers trade. By the way, getting draft picks of teams that are in the playoffs, not exactly optimal. Drew Holiday goes to play for the Milwaukee Bucks, becomes a first-team All-NBA player. And you get a guy in return who you thought was just going to be the veteran leader, a guy that you vouched for, a guy that you believed in, because you could have cut him. You could have dumped him off like you did George Hill was part of that trade. George Hill, by the way, a shooter you could have used. And Bledsoe was a train wreck. Brought down the team. Didn't give effort. Didn't know what the score was in the game. Didn't know what his coach told him. This guy's a veteran in the league. And once again, the NBA, because we're coming out of COVID, has gifted you another playoff appearance. Pels, just make the play-in tournament. That's all you got to do. And they didn't do it again. And now Stan Van Gundy's going to be the scapegoat. Just like Alvin Gentry was the scapegoat last year. Just like David Blatt was the scapegoat in Cleveland. Yeah, I haven't forgot about what he did in Cleveland. Everyone tells me, Ray, he did such a great job in Cleveland. No, time out. He made one move in Cleveland. One. One move. By the way, he was in charge of the team in some capacity while they were awful, even though they had Kyrie Irving. I'd like to point that out. That they were an awful franchise with Kyrie. He was also part of the front office personnel that drafted Bennett, number one overall. Remember him? He was out of the league in 3 years. He had his fingerprints all over that. He takes Wiggins. And he's able to flip Wiggins and picks to get Kevin Love to give LeBron the big three. David Griffin did not convince LeBron James to come back home to Cleveland. Just like David Griffin didn't win the lottery for the New Orleans Pelicans. He was gifted Zion Williamson as the lottery pick. He was gifted during his time there in Cleveland when he was part of front office personnel decisions where he was doing things in the front office. They took Kyrie Irving, who was awful. They were awful with him. He drafted Bennett, awful. He just gets a gift of LeBron James deciding to make the decision in spite of his relationship with the owner, Dan Gilbert, that he's going to come back home because he wants to win a championship. And David Griffin's like, sure, the best player on the face of the planet, a guy who's in the conversation for the greatest of all time, has opted to come back home. Yay. He made one move in Cleveland, and that was getting Kevin Love to be the number three. to serve as that Chris Bosh role. And it worked. But he's the one that decided to hire David Blatt. Fired him after 1 year. They made the finals. Fired. Does anyone think Ty Lue was drawing up game-winning plans? The guy that was stepped over by Allen Iverson all those years ago in the finals?
No.
That was LeBron's team. Everyone knew that. Everyone that pays attention to basketball knew that. Why do you think Ty Lue's coaching the Clippers with other big stars? Because that's what he does. Griffin's supposed to be the smartest guy in the room. Griffin's supposed to be this and this. And I keep getting told this and keep being told to have patience. I've seen nothing in 2 years but poor leadership. I see a lack of accountability. And I see a man who does not have a vision for what he's supposed to do. And if you listen to the incoherent presser yesterday, which we'll listen to after the break, you're going to go, I have no idea what the hell this guy's vision is. Have no idea. What is David Griffin's vision? He's trying to straddle the line. Well, we're going to go out and make all these moves to get these vets, and we're going to have the young guys. We're going to try to play the young guys, but then we're not going to play the young guys. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now you're giving Zion his third coach, and is about to enter his third season in the league. You're giving him his third coach because you didn't do your job well. David Griffin has not done his job well. Not at all. Drafting Zion as the number one overall pick when you were gifted the lottery, it's not doing your job. A monkey you shoot into space could do that. You're not impressing me. Got to take a timeout. More from the First South Farm Credit Studios coming up. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Simulcast on Stadium, 32.3 and 133 on LUS. Stan the man, Stan Van Gundy's out after just one season at the helm of the New Orleans Pelicans. It ended with, you know, not making the playoffs yet again. Woof. Griffin spoke to the media yesterday. So the news comes out yesterday morning, mid-morning, right? Stan Van was out. Kevin Foote broke it on Footnotes yesterday, right here on 103.7 The Game. And so there was a lot of reaction. So then Griffin has a press conference. Going to clear things up. Going to find out what David Griffin's vision is for this team. Going to find out what went wrong. There wasn't. There wasn't. And this is just some samples of what he had to say. This is what David Griffin, the man in charge of the New Orleans Pelicans, had to say on parting ways with Stan Van Gundy.
This is a tremendous basketball coach. And what he will have given us in terms of attention to detail and work ethic is something that's going to carry with us for quite a long time. More importantly, this is a man who invests deeply, both in his actions and in his finances, in the causes he cares about. He's lived his entire life in a really upstanding, decent way. And I can't tell you how much I learned just about how to be the right type of person from Stan over the years watching him. This is something that I've agonized over. And Stan and I agonized over together. You saw from the release that this is something where we mutually agreed to part company.
I'm sorry. Yeah. They agonized over this decision. That is mutually, because everyone mutually says, yeah, I'd like to be fired. Sure. He did the same dog and pony show when he hired Stan Van Gundy, talking about how good of a man he is. I don't give a damn about how good of a guy he is. I don't care what he's like as a dad, what he's like as a husband, what he does in his community, what he does with his charities. I don't care. I need someone who's going to coach my team to wins. That should be first and foremost, number one on your list when you hire someone. Can they do the job? Can they do the job well? Who they are as a person is nowhere on that top five. You're not hiring Stan Van Gundy to run your charitable organization. You're not hiring Stan Van Gundy to go out there and run the food bank for the New Orleans Pelicans. You're hiring him to coach the basketball team. I said it last year, and I took issue with the introductory press conference when David Griffin talked about how great of a man Stan Van Gundy is. I don't care. Your job is to hire someone that makes your team better. And this whole dog and pony show, he's a professional, and professionalism will take for years to come. Yeah, working with someone for 9 months, you really absorb a lot from that person and implement it into what you do for your next, 20 years of your career. Come on, man. This guy does this all the time. So is there going to be a sense of urgency here to hire someone? That's a question, right? Absolute, legit question. Guess what? For David Griffin? Oh, man. There's no clock. There's no clock for this team.
No, I mean, none of it, Doug. I mean, I know nobody's going to believe that, but that's not what we do here. We're not chasing some invisible clock. We're trying to build a sustainable winner in a team that can begin to contend once it wins with regularity. That's what we're trying to build. That's what the urgency is. I don't believe in that invisible clock. You're either all the way in or you're all the way out. And this city is absolutely about that. I think all of you that have lived here for any extended period of time understand there's not a lot of in-between in New Orleans. You're here because you love it and you want to be. And we believe our players want to win here and will love winning here. And we're not chasing anything other than the success that we need to have as a group. That's it. That's what motivates these things. There's no artificial urgency that comes from anything else.
I'm done being frustrated with David Griffin. It just amuses me. It's just, he sits down for a press conference and he's like, ooh, something shot. Like, it's completely all over the place. This man has no vision. He has no vision for this team. LeBron James ain't walking through this door. He has no vision. It's not going to be any savior that's going to save his job in Cleveland. Sorry, not going to happen. Let's head out to the hotline real quick. Halftime, I got about 35 seconds before I hit the break, brother, but it's yours. Good morning.
I think the best thing Nate could do, and a lot of people don't like him as a coach, I just think to build the program up, to get him to winning status, and then get another coach to get him over the hump, I think Mark Jackson will be a good fit over there. Just to build the program up.
Never will happen halftime. Never will happen. David Griffin is a control freak. Mark Jackson is a control freak. They will not get along. They will not get along.
You're right. All right, then. That was just my little thing. Okay, you have a good one.
Thank you, halftime. Yeah, I mean, you could throw out a lot of different players. A lot of different coaches. Stan Van Gundy and David Griffin didn't see eye to eye. Alvin Gentry and David Griffin didn't see eye to eye. David Blatt and David Griffin didn't see eye to eye. You see a pattern here? Ty Lue is a yes man. Yes, LeBron, what do you want? Yes, David Griffin, what do you want? There you go. That's what David Griffin's looking for. He's looking for someone who's going to do exactly what he wants to do. Reports are sourced reports, off the record stuff, says that David Griffin wants someone that's going to allow him to come in and give his input on the team and how it should be coached. I saw that yesterday. Oh, hello. All right. Got ourselves a Jerry Jones situation brewing up with the Pelicans. Sure, that'll end up really well. That always ends up really well when the person running the front office wants to be part of, how things are coached up too. Gotta be kidding me with this. Oh, we gotta take a timeout. When we return, our first guest of today's show, he's from The Town Talk and thetowntalk.com. It's our good friend, the award-winning columnist, the one and only, John Marchese. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. The New Orleans Pelicans, David Griffin moving on from yet another coach. after yet another season of not making the playoffs, after the NBA gifted you the opportunity to get into the playoffs with the play-in tournament and the scheduling down in Orlando 2 years ago. Ooh, 2 seasons ago, rather. Great stuff going down in New Orleans. It is our poll question of the day, by the way. That's right. Haven't got to it yet, but we wanted to talk a little bit about the subject first. Poll question of the day is, do you have faith that David Griffin can turn the Pelicans around? 50% of you say no, that ship has sailed. 28% say maybe. Maybe if he has a vision. 22% say yes, he needs more time. Darren on Twitter says, Van Gundy was a bad hire from the jump. The roster was put together poor. He has to put it together and bring in a few big names, or your only big name Zion will leave. Maybe he should leave. Griff. That's Darren, number one Raging Cajun fan of RP3 and company. Steve on Twitter says, the Pope couldn't bestow enough faith for anyone to believe in Griff. Mrs. Benson needs to take off the rose-colored glasses and blow this dumpster fire up. Strong comments. Keep those comments coming on Facebook and Twitter for our poll question of the day. And before we bring on our first guest, John Marques of the Town Talk from thetowntalk.com, let's head out quickly to the hotline. Welcome on James, who's been patiently waiting during the break. James, good morning to you, brother. What's on your mind?
Mr. RP3, man, I've been patiently sitting by listening to you work this out, you know, but I just had to call in and say, I don't know what's going to happen with this hot mess that is our Pelicans, but I can tell you, I'll bet you a paycheck that right now, LP1 is online ordering his Lakers jerseys.
Thank you, James. LP1, Louis Prejean. Diehard Pelicans fan. He is now ordering his Lakers jersey. I hope he's listening. I hope he's listening. You can listen on the free mobile app or on your smart speakers, Alexa, Google Home. Check us out. Take us wherever you're going. Right now, though, it's time for us to bring on our first guest. He's the award-winning columnist from the Town Talk and thetowntalk.com. Sometimes we get a little pissy with each other via text. It happens. Someone and only, John Marques. John, good morning. How are you feeling today, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you, Ray? And for the record, we used to do that in person. So, I mean,
that's why we're such good friends. We've known each other. You realize, brother, we've known each other now almost 20 years. We've been friends almost 20 years. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah, I'm an old person, so you know, yeah. I hit the 5-0 this year. So.
Oh, yes, you did. Congratulations. I'll be 43 this year. I just had to remind myself. You know, you get to a certain age, you're like, okay, I'm 43.
You
I'll
just
be 43.
Give up, don't you?
It just becomes another day. All right, bud, I want to get your thoughts since we've been talking about it all this morning. David Griffin. I'm leaning more and more as every day passes that his genius is wildly overblown because he benefited from having LeBron James come back to Cleveland because LeBron James decided to come back to Cleveland. And maybe he's not the savior that we thought he was. He's parted ways with Stan Van Gundy, which is a good way of saying fired. What do you make of what's going on with the Pelicans? Again.
What you're thinking has crossed my mind many times. Let's face it, LeBron has made many people look smart over the course of his career.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say he is still an improvement from Dell Demps. Of course, I don't think that took much. I like Stan Van Gundy. I like Jeff Van Gundy. I liked them a lot better when they're in the media, not so much when they're coaching right now. But I never understood the Stan Van Gundy hire, especially when you look at his most recent NBA work as a head coach. So I never understood that fit. And I don't know where you go from here. This will be arguably the most important coaching hire in the history of the franchise because the clock's ticking on Zion Williams and his ability to sign his first long-term extension. Will he play out the string and head to Madison Square Garden, where I don't think it's any secret that's where he and his entourage would prefer to be or would hope to wind up. So, yeah, it's we're going to see how David Griffin's reputation is going to be put to the test now and over the next couple of weeks and even next several months.
Yeah, it's going to be tested because, and I think faith is declining. You know, it declines every day. And if they look, and the other problem compounding that is that the NBA's gifted them the opportunity to get into the playoffs back-to-back years with the play-in tournament, and they're not there. They're closer. I've said it before. They're closer to being Sacramento and Minnesota than they are being Portland.
You know, it's been said, and it's true, about the NBA, the way the NBA system is set up. It pays to go all out and to be really, really good, a la the Brooklyn Nets, or to be in the tank like the 76ers did. The last place you want to be is mediocre, trying to battle for that 7 and 8 spot in the NBA playoffs, because it's doomed for failure. And we have seen this over and over and over with the Pelicans. You know, ever since Chris Paul left, they've just been that's what they've been. They've been a mediocre to bad franchise. Unfortunately, they've been more mediocre than bad, because you want them to be bad, where then they have a greater chance of going through the process, as it was called, to, you know, try to win the NBA lottery once, twice, three times.
When you say once, twice, three times, I think of Lionel Richie's song. I don't know why. So we're talking with John Marques of the Town Talk at thetowntalk.com.
That's on you, not me.
Come on, Lionel. Man, Lionel put out some good pop songs, bud. Not to mention the great stuff he did with the Commodores. Okay, we got sidetracked. You wrote a great column about Chris Paul, and it did feel like this when you wrote the column and when you published the column this week, that he was right there, right? Phoenix got the sweep. He's made a great collaboration with him and Monty Williams, perfect coach, you know, starting point guard combination. Chris Paul looks like he has an opportunity to finish off his legacy with a trip to the finals, finally. And then we find out that positive COVID test, and now he's going to be in COVID protocols. The good thing for Phoenix is they got the sweep, and the other series is at least going to go one more game. But what do you make of Chris Paul's, you know, late career resurgence here in Phoenix, and now, obviously, with the news coming out that, you know, he has to be in COVID health protocols?
You know, I don't know if you would call it a resurgence, because I don't think he ever truly dipped. You look at, you know, when he was in Houston, he had to play definitely second fiddle to James Harden. You know, he had a great year last year in Oklahoma City.
Oh, he did wonders with them. Did wonders with them.
Okay. Yeah, so you sort of forget that. And, you know, the situation in Phoenix was just tailor-made. They needed a point guard who could, you know, bring out the best in Devin Booker and Aaron Dayton and all the other pieces they had been accumulating. And, you know, you talk about being mediocre to bad. Phoenix was bad for so long, but they started adding the pieces they needed to with Devin Booker and Aaron Dayton, and now they got running Chris Paul as the finishing touch. And you know, the bugaboo about Chris Paul is always he's been great, and then something happens to him in the playoffs, and you thought this might be the year. And as soon as I submit it and it's published, where it comes out, he's violated or he's in the protocol. So.
You sent me the email about it. You sent me the email with it being appeared to be published, and I was like, oh, great. And then it's before I could even open it, I texted you the thing on Twitter about him being COVID protocol.
I mean, and it's just you feel for him because, I mean, you could make the strong case. I can't remember the year right off the top of the head, but I think it was Golden State's last title. The Rockets had him down. The Rockets were beating them. They were up 3-2. They were dominating.
Yeah, he hurts his hamstring, and then James Harden misses 43 pointers in Game 7.
And then James Harden turned into Game 7 James Harden.
There it is.
So, it's just been one of those. He's just star-crossed when it comes to the postseason, and you hope for his case that, you know, maybe the Clippers and the Jazz go 7 games, so he's got, you know, you got a few more days. But, you know, I think the Suns could probably survive maybe a game or two without him. I mean, Chris Paul, for as good as he is, he's still not the best player on that team, and that's Devin Booker. And that's what people need to remember.
John, what do you make of the rash of injuries that we've had here in the association this postseason? We've had so many big-name stars. I want to say there's nine of them, nine all-stars that have had to miss at least one game during this postseason. You're talking the best of the best, the biggest stars that the sport has. What do you make of this rash of injuries here?
Well, let's separate it. You know, several of them have they've sprained their ankle or tweaked their ankle. I mean, that's going to happen. It's basketball. That's the nature of the game, and we've seen that going throughout history. Now, when you talk about the ACLs like Kawhi Leonard or the hamstring pulls like James Harden, which I still find it amazing that James Harden could pull a hamstring, because if you ever watch him, he hardly runs fast during the game. He just – but, yeah, I don't know if it's a fluke, but, you know, I don't want to read too much into it. I know the King came out and said it was because of the lack of the offseason, too many games, this and that. I just don't – I don't know if I want to go there yet, because you see it every year. I mean, and because you're talking about more intense situation, more spotlights on everything. And let's face it, I mean, you're playing – the best of the best. You're not playing the Sacramento Kings or whoever, or the Orlando Magic, where you can go at 70% and still win the game. You got to go full out. So I don't want to put anything into it just yet, because, you know, basketball just lends itself to injuries when you're talking about what you physically have to do to your body to play the game. So I don't want to go there just yet.
All right, bud. Let's wrap it up with this. We're talking with our guy, John Marques of the Town Talk and thetowntalk.com. He joins us here on RP3 and Company. I want to talk about the NFL. And obviously, we don't know the extent of the situation with Chris Paul. I still haven't seen any reports that he had not gotten vaccinated, right? So I'm not for sure what, but you can probably lead towards that, down that path, that maybe he had not gotten vaccinated, just like John Rahm didn't get vaccinated before the Memorial Tournament and had to be forced to pull out there and lose a chance at $1.6 million. The NFL has come out, and this happened yesterday, and I know you touched base on it, that NFL players who aren't fully vaccinated will be banned from nightclubs, bars, house parties, concerts, etc., with the NFL and clubs allowed to issue fines of a game check of up to $50,000 for first offense and more thereafter, becoming increasingly more and more after that for violating protocol. So the NFL is put in effect punishment, or yeah, I guess it depends on how you want to look at it. You can say it's punishment if you don't get vaccinated, or you can say it's encouragement to get vaccinated so you don't lose money and you have your pocketbook, you know, obviously affected, not to mention losing games because you'd have to go through the protocol process, quarantine process. What do you make of the NFL stance like this right now?
You know, I think it's I don't blame them, especially when you consider the close contact of the game, nature of the game. That last thing you want to do is have an outbreak. I mean, let's face it, things have relaxed and loosened in society. I mean, I was at the Astros game Tuesday night, didn't have to wear a mask. There are 26,000 other people there not wearing a mask. So things are getting back to normal with that. But, you know, I think the last thing the NFL wants is an outbreak, having to cancel several games. Major League Baseball hadn't had that this year. The NBA's been pretty fortunate. You know, and I know Major League Baseball, they came down with a threshold that you had to have 75-80% of your team, and that, and I don't think it's just players, but also the trainers and all the ancillary coaching staff, to be vaccinated, and you didn't have to wear a mask. And you see it's starting to, you know, you're starting to see the benefits of that for Major League Baseball. So I don't blame the NFL, and you might even see this going forward with other businesses, not just in the sports realm, of encouraging to get the vaccination. I would say losing a game check or being fined $50,000 would be a good incentive.
It would be for me. $1.6 million, bud? That's what John Rahm had to miss out on.
I just take the 0.6, you know. I'm not greedy.
Yeah, you're not greedy. I like that. Bud, keep up the tremendous work. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
I'll send you some mean texts.
Sean Marques from the Town Talk of thetowntalk.com joining us here on RP3 and Company. Appreciate John for his time. Go check out his work at thetowntalk.com. It is worthwhile. Great columnist. We got to take a timeout. We'll update our poll question of the day and wrap up hour number one when we come back. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS. Poll question of the day. Do you have faith that David Griffin can turn the Pelicans around? Yes, he needs more than 2 years. Maybe, if he actually has a vision. No, that ship has sailed. Right now, leading the vote is, with 59%, is no, that ship has sailed. 23% is maybe, if he has a vision. 18% say yes, he needs more time. Go to a comment quickly on the Book of Face. It comes from James. And it's just a gif of Jim from The Office. Doubt it. Boom. Sometimes people use the gifs to express themselves, and sometimes that's all it needs. Are you a big gif guy?
Big time.
Big time.
There's an art form to it. As much as a science, it's an art.
Do you have faith in David Griffin's ability to lead this franchise?
No. I tell you who's good to go, though. The Pelicans to Seattle.
Oh, time to relocate another franchise, NBA franchise, out of New Orleans. Oh, man. We got to take a timeout. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. Hour number two has arrived, and David Griffin is still struggling to put together a sentence for the media during a press conference from yesterday. Welcome back to RP3 and Company. I'm Raymond Parch III. I'm your host. I'm joined here in the First South Farm Credit Studios by a man who can pull off wearing horizontal striped shirts, a man who has great lettuce. You're going to grow to love him. Trust me. It's the one and only Nick Diaz. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Don't set that bar too high now.
Buddy, you work with me, you'll understand that bar is always going to be low.
Life's all about expectations.
See, I have a philosophy. Would you like to hear my philosophy?
Please.
If you put your expectations like super low, when you achieve something, when you meet them, you feel like, man, I feel good. I just met my expectations. And if you don't reach them, well, they're so low that it doesn't really matter.
I like it.
It's benefited me well. Oh, man. All right, who do you want to see the Pelicans hire?
Whoever Zion Williamson wants.
I'm going to give you someone that the coaches would love to have as the head coach. And David Griffin, yesterday during his incoherent press conference, shot down. So the news breaks in the middle of the morning about Stan Van getting fired, right? Mm. And videos started circulating of someone on staff. That, by the way, and it's been well documented, the players... Excuse me. The players love, respect, and talk about unprompted. Like, there's been interviews done with the players, Zion, B.I., Lonzo, others, Josh Hart. And this coach's name gets brought up without being asked about it. That's always a telltale sign to me. Oh, the player has a connection to that coach. The player respects that coach. That coach, of course, is Teresa Witherspoon,
mm-hmm.
Louisiana Tech, Lady Texter legend, WNBA star and who works with the scouting department, essentially, is what she does with the Pelicans. Now, Teaspoon, which is her nickname, did not do great coaching at her alma mater. Part of that is because recruiting was an issue for Teresa there. And the landscape of women's college basketball has changed greatly since Louisiana Tech was last relevant when Teaspoon was playing for them. It's shifted greatly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was part of it, right? You watch her videos, you listen to the guys, and they sound like they would run through a brick wall for her. Why not go bold and hire the first female coach in NBA? She already has the locker room. This is not an issue of you trying to bring in someone, Nick, and going, hey, we got to sell this coach to the players already in. They love and respect her, probably more than they did Stan Van Gundy. So it starts building up steam yesterday on social media. People, obviously, and I was one of them, I'd love to see that move. The only thing I took away from David Griffin's press conference yesterday is that that's not going to happen. He mumbled his way. He says, oh, she's a great contributor. We have plans for her for this franchise. But, you know, basically shot down any notion that she would be a legit head coaching candidate. Okay. Like, if you're just going to go out there and give us another retread, what's the point? Like, what are you doing? The game is changing. The game is evolving. This whole notion, which a lot of people have, which is antiquated, that a woman can't coach a male sport is completely off base, especially in basketball. The biggest supporters of the WNBA, by the way, are NBA players. This generation, LeBron's generation, D-Wade, that whole generation down to Dame Lillard, to the young guys like Zion and John Moran and all those, they love the WNBA. They love the women's game, and they respect the hell out of it. So this notion that you couldn't get a female to serve as a head coach is nonsense. You may not think that. You may be uncomfortable, not you in particular, Nick, but just talking to someone, anyone out there. You may have a issue with it, but we're working on two generations of players that don't. They don't. The biggest cheerleaders of the WNBA have been NBA guys. Kobe was another one. Okay, so they view it, those guys in the locker room view Teresa Witherspoon as a colleague, as someone who played the game just like they did. And she's got a fiery personality. She's a motivator. She knows how to play. She's won at the highest levels. I think that would be a great move by them. But David Griffin shut that down. So who do you go with here? He didn't like Kenny Atkinson. He apparently wasn't a candidate last year. Or you would have hired him. He was available, by the way. Didn't go after him. Who are you going to go after? By the way, there's other teams, and here's the other issue for the Pelicans in their quest of trying to become relevant, so to speak. And I want to give credit, I'm pulling it up now, I want to give credit where credit is due here, because I do believe Rod Walker, one of the best reporters and writers in the state for The Advocate, who writes a lot about the Pelicans, I want to say he sent this out. You know, last year they had to find a coach, and they had to do so in an environment where so many other teams had to find coaches as well, right? Oh, here's a quote from Griff about her candidacy is premature, and people may have read too much into her being named the team's summer league coach. So you're already moving forward with her coaching the summer league. Maybe they don't think she has enough reps and that she's not ready yet to be on the big roster. But if you're supposed to be a genius making bold moves I don't know why that would stop you. I'm just saying. So last year, the Pelicans had to hire a coach, right? And they had to do so when the Clippers had to hire a coach. All these other franchises, the Knicks, the Clippers, all these other bigger market teams, larger teams had to hire coaches. Guess what? Now they have to do it yet again. Yet again. They have to go through this yet again because you have a ton of different teams out there that need head coaches, including the Boston Celtics. You're not helping your – once again, the timing of it. Stan Van Gundy hasn't even been on the job for a year. You fire him. Other teams with talented players need coaches. You struggled finding a person last year because you wanted Ty Lue. He turned you down to take the Clippers job. What's going to lead anyone to believe that this is not going to happen yet again? That a candidate that you may go after instead is going to get hired by Boston or whoever else has vacancies after this season? Like, what makes you believe that the Pelicans are going to be able to hire the right coach? That's not a rhetorical question. Hotline's open. By the way, no guests this hour. We have two great guests in hour number three today. Les East from CrescentCitySports.com and David Grubb from Hard in the Paint Podcast. We'll get their thoughts on the Pelicans nonsense as well. So if you want to get your phone calls in, get them in this hour. Hour number two, 7 o'clock hour, 337-706-0111. But I ask you the same question. What faith do you have in the Pelicans that they're going to hire the coach that they want? I'm asking you, Nick Diaz.
Well, I don't know enough about the Teresa Weatherspoon to comment on her abilities as a coach, because quite honestly, I just learned about her last night. So I don't know. I mean, the right person for the job should get the job. That's all I can tell you. But it's not.
Do you believe they can get the right person for the job?
No.
There it is.
No. There it is. There's. I mean, because you know, because before I didn't had I hadn't had I had not had I can't speak this morning. I had not heard this until you had mentioned it today or this morning. Was that David Griffin says I want to be involved? I was like, oh. that's the recipe.
Run for the hills. I'm Zion Hill, Zion Williamson, rather, I'm running for the hills. I go no. What? No, bro, I got to get out of here. This guy, if you're Zion, here's your timeline. Last year, August 15th, Alvin Gentry fired. He was a lame duck coach. We expected that.
Mm-hmm.
October 21st, Stan Van Gundy hired. May 16th, regular season finale. June 16th, Stan Van Gundy fired. Your young superstar, who's going to be, some people believe, possibly one of the young faces, already is, but could be the face of the league for years to come. This is what you've given him. This is what you've given him. In his first two seasons, no playoffs, and you fired not one but two of his coaches. First of all, that stunts the development of the player. And Zion's still developing. He's still a baby. This does not work for development of players. It just doesn't. You saw, I'll give you a perfect example. You saw Brandon Ingram thrive with Alvin Gentry as his head coach. We can all admit to that. They weren't good overall as a team, but you saw B.I. finally blossom into the player the Lakers thought they were getting when they drafted him. It didn't work out in L.A. with any of those guys, Hart, Ball, or Ingram, or Julius Randle, or I'm forgetting the name. The name escapes me. D'Angelo Russell. Most of those guys went on to be all-stars, by the way, after they left L.A. It's funny. You have to be a certain player to play with LeBron. Just saying. B.I. thrives. He becomes an all-star. last season. Zion was hurt. They didn't play a lot. They didn't play a ton, right? Because they were very methodical in Zion's return to the line, actually playing his rookie season. But you see what Alvin Gentry did, a veteran coach, with Brandon Ingram? Well, Brandon Ingram didn't vibe with Stan Van Gundy. Their offensive philosophies were different. So B.I.'s development, even though the numbers were somewhat there, production-wise, he took a dip this past season. He wasn't as good as he was the year before. Now, part of that's learning how to play with Zion on the court at the same time, but also part of that is dealing with a new coach. Zion thrived under Stan Van Gundy. You saw him develop, right? And we saw Stan also develop Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who was sent down to the G League under Alvin Gentry, comes back and turns into he takes a step. He's not great yet, but he took a step. Jackson Hayes gets benched by Stan Van Gundy, comes back after the All-Star break, far better player, the best version of himself that we've seen so far. So the younger guys in the last 2 years that you have on your roster have developed with your coaches, and then you fired one coach, and then you fired the next coach. This next hire is fundamentally critical for the success of this franchise for the next 5 to 10 years. Because if he screws this up, if he gets a yes man in there that just wants to, Griffin finds himself someone that wants to run the team exactly how he wants it ran, that could be trouble. That could be big time trouble. Because I don't know if you're going to get the development of the younger guys. And Griffin still has this mentality that he had in Cleveland where he's drafting people and he's compiling picks and everyone's talking about that. Well, Ray, just wait till the picks from the Bucks and the Lakers. Well, Lakers were a playoff team this year, won the championship last year. Milwaukee's in the Eastern Conference semifinals. How valuable are those late first-round draft picks and second-round draft picks now? We keep saying Griffin also likes to have one foot in the door with free agents and trades. Derek Favors, J.J. Redick, Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe. You see what I'm saying? While guys like Kyra and Nickeil Alexander-Walker have to wait on the bench and not get the reps to develop as a young team, he's tried to have his cake and eat it too. It's hurt the development of those younger players. So you got to figure out what your vision is. And right now, the man doesn't have one. Does not have one. A vision just can't be, hey, LeBron James walk into the door. Okay, good. You got a young team. You got to develop them. I said I wasn't going to get frustrated. I said I was just going to laugh about it. But part of me is frustrated. Because they shouldn't be this incompetent. And it should not be a dumpster fire. And yet it is. A guy that was a supposed genius that was going to clean up the mess Dale Demps left has done nothing to improve it. You could argue they've gotten worse.
I have a question. Whoever said he was a genius?
He had the label as a genius. He got into the business at a young age, right out of college. He went to, I think, Arizona State. He got in with the Phoenix Suns. Jerry Colangelo, the architect of the Bulls teams, and Danny Ainge discovered him and mentored him. So you have two of the best basketball minds in modern NBA history that kind of took them under their wing, developed him. He spent 20 years in the Suns organization. Then he goes to Cleveland. He rapidly climbs up the ranks there. And he was the guy, he was the GM for those LeBron James finals teams where they won the championship finally against the Warriors. So he got the nut. And he pulled off the Kevin Love trade. Once again, brilliant move on his part. But there was other moves that get kind of pushed aside because everyone's so focused on, oh, you were the GM when LeBron James brought a championship back to Cleveland. You forget about the stuff in the years before then where the team was mediocre after Kyrie Irving was drafted. They weren't a playoff team. He was part of the front office that drafted Anthony Bennett, number one overall. Ugh. Okay? No one talks about those moves. So you got the genius tag, and then he had a falling out with the ownership. So that always goes the way of the guy that gets fired, right? But, you know, he's a supposed genius. Woo! I don't know. I don't know. We got to take a timeout that I do know of. More RP3 and Company coming up right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The game simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS. Poll question of the day. Do you have faith that David Griffin can turn the Pelicans around? Yes, he needs more time. 23% of you say that. That's it. That's third place. 27% of you say maybe if he has a vision, and that is a huge question mark, because does he? Does Griff have a vision for this team? I don't know. We don't know. It sure doesn't seem like the players and coaches know either. And I don't know if David Griffin really understands what his vision is yet. 50% of you say no, that ship has sailed. That's our poll question of the day. Keep those votes coming. Leave your comments on Facebook and the Twitters. The Twitters. We're talking a little NBA playoffs later on. Obviously, that's coming up. We're going to recap last night's action. This has been one of the more interesting and unexpected NBA playoffs in a long time, and I'm here for it. I love it. I love when things get shook up a little bit, and that's what exactly what's going on right now with the teams that are in the playoffs and the teams that are taking 3-2 series leads in the playoffs. I love it. I'm here for it. It's entertaining to me. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. But you know what's starting today? It crept up on me. Admittedly, it crept up on me. The U.S. Open. U.S. Open! Golf's third major now on the calendar. Remember, they made the adjustment a few years ago, moving the PGA Championship up to the number two spot. And now the U.S. Open's three, and then what we call the British Open, which they over there call the Open Championships, will be your finale of the four majors in golf. A lot of people like Rory McIlroy, and I get it. Some people like Xander Schauffele, I get it, but I don't know. Here are your favorites and your long shots here for the U.S. Open, which begins today there at the South Course at Torrey Pines. Pull that up real quick. All right. Here's your tier one guys. This is courtesy of ESPN. John Rahm. Remember, John had to withdraw from the Memorial, which is one of the best and most prestigious golf tournaments that's not a major on the tour. That's Jack's tour, Jack Nicklaus's tour. Tournament. I remember he had a 6-stroke lead after 36 holes after the third round, but tested positive for COVID because he didn't get the vaccination shot that was offered for free by the PGA Tour and had to withdraw and lose $1.6 million. Well, he's going to be in the field. Now, the Spaniard with the German last name, as I like to refer to him as, he will be allowed to get a full week's worth of practice in at Torrey Pines. He received 2 negative tests, so he's going to be there. I'm interested to see what he's going to look like. Now, the regular tour stop at Torrey Pines, of course, is the Farmers Insurance Open. He's performed very well there. 51 under par in 5 starts for that tournament. So he knows the course. He plays the course well. Of course, they will US Openize the course. US Open is known, legendary approach to hole placement and making the courses immensely difficult. The U.S. Open prides itself on not having low numbers. They're okay with someone winning their major by shooting 2 over par. Rahm's familiar with the course. Will he have a chip on his shoulder after being forced out of the Memorial? I'm interested to see how he plays. He won at that course in 2017, not that long ago. Can John Rahm, the Spaniard, with the German name, win it? He's one of your favorites. Xander Schauffele is intriguing to me as well. He's only 27. He feels like he should be older. He's one of the young guns on the tour. And he played, here's another advantage for him. He played majority of high school golf at Torrey Pines because he went to San Diego State. He's from California. He played his high school golf there at Torrey Pines. He also played his golf there when he went to San Diego State. He's familiar with the course. It's almost like the home course for Xander Schauffele. Now, but he's struggled as a pro. He missed four of his first five starts at the on the South Course. But he did tie for runner-up at the Farmers Insurance Open back in January. So recent success. Historically, not a lot as a professional, but he does have that recent success. Brooks Koepka, obviously, is going to be in the mix. Four-time major champion. He's won two U.S. Opens, two PGA Championships. I nicknamed him the Terminator. He finished runner-up behind Phil Mickelson last month at the PGA Championship. He's got to be in the mix here. And he feels like Brooksy is getting closer and closer to fully recovering from that March knee surgery. And he loves playing in the U.S. Open. He'd become only the seventh player to win the Open at least three times. Of course, his good friend, I say that sarcastically, Bryson DeChambeau will be there. He's the reigning U.S. Open champion. Loves hitting the long ball. I'd love to know what's in his protein shakes in the morning. Just saying. My man went away and came back looking like the Incredible Hulk. Sure. That just happened by eating steak and lifting weights every day. Sure, I'd buy that. He's the reigning U.S. Open champ. The key for Bryson is this. My man struggles keeping those tee shots in the fairway. He just does. Since winning the Open last year, remember, he's your reigning champ. DeChambeau was tied for 34th at the Masters in November last year, tied for 46th at the Masters in April, and tied for 38th at the PGA Championship. He has not looked good on the course in recent majors. He just hasn't. Justin Thomas needs to be in the mix as well. Rory McIlroy, already mentioned him. Jordan Spieth. And Patrick Reed. Now remember, Patrick won the Farmers Insurance Open by five shots in January. So, we'll see. Woo! Can't wait. U.S. Open. Tees off this morning. Obviously, they're on the West Coast time. So it'll be a little while before we start hearing, start getting results in, but that'll be sprinkled in throughout the day as tee time is 8:45 our time here in the Central Time Zone. Once again, U.S. Open at the South Course there at Torrey Pines in lovely sunny California. We got to take a timeout. NBA playoffs recap from last night up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Simulcast on Stadium, 32.3 and 133 on LUS. My crawfish pie. You like that? Do you appreciate when I bring my vocal stylings to the table, Nick Diaz, producer of RP3 and Company?
I thought you were going
to
ask me if I liked crawfish pie or,
ooh,
which I do.
Yes.
No, I don't.
Good, I'll keep doing it.
Well, oh boy, wrong answer. Be different if you did it for a different bumper music.
I love, first of all, I can take any bumper music and sing over it. Beastie Boys Sabotage, sure, that's easy. I'll do it on another one, not to worry. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm going to provide you with more vocal stylings.
Oh boy.
Oh, the Houston Astros are heating up. Boy, they clobbered those old Tejas Rangers last night, didn't they? Just put the hurting on them. Take the series sweep. Only a little two-game series, but they do so after winning in walk-off Grand Slam fashion by Jose Altuve the night before. Those lovely Houston Astros get the win last night, 8-4, get 12 hits. Zach Greinke gets the win. He's now 7-2 overall in the season, 3.74 ERA. Altuve just continues his towards pace. Oh, man, he started the game and ended it the same way. Started and ended it the same way. My man has found that MVP season form once again. He just has. Did not have it last year. This year, totally different beast. Altuve homered twice and made Major League history, by the way, by hitting a leadoff home run one game after belting a walk-off grand slam to lead the Astros over the Rangers 8-4 on Wednesday night there at Minute Maid Ballpark. His grand slam in the 10th inning Tuesday night lifted the Astros to that 6-3 win. He becomes the first player to launch a leadoff homer in the game after hitting a walk-off, according to stats. Houston manager Dusty Baker said afterwards, "This is a remarkable streak that he's on. He's swinging like a power hitter." Woo. Once again, soft-spoken second baseman. Man, he hit that shot to the train tracks at top left field with two outs in the eighth. Just crushed that ball. Or as Kevin Foote would say, crush their little faces. Crush their faces. He'll be very excited this morning. My man's on vacation. And his Astros just swept the Texas Rangers. And even Miles Straw. Oh, can we talk about Miles Straw? That is Kevin Foote's favorite player on the Astros. And he's actually been hitting the ball better. He's actually improving after a really just dreadful start to the season. Miles Straw went 1-for-4 last night. He got into the action as well. He hit a home run off the fourth inning off of Lyles. Maldonado got a double and a home run last night as well. They just teed off on Texas's pitching. And Greinke was very good. 5 2/3 innings. Only gave up 3 runs on 4 hits, 4 Ks, 2 walks. That's kind of a Zach Greinke stat line. And the bullpen only gave up 1 run. The combination of Raleigh, Javier, and Sanek only gave up 1 run. And they pitched 3 1/3. So even the bullpen is making progress. Astros get the win 8-4 last night. Keep pace with, well, they're keeping pace with the Oakland Athletics because the A's, despite their lineup and despite how the organization is ran, and in spite of having raw sewage on the field and playing their games in an absolute dump, they still find a way to win. Astros are 2.5 games back of the Oakland Athletics. And the Astros have a huge series this weekend coming up. 4-game set against the Chicago White Sox, one of the best teams in the American League, if not the best team in the American League. They lead the Central by 4.5 games over the Cleveland Indians. Best team in the American League is the Chicago White Sox. They come to town. So a great series for the Astros to continue building momentum. They won all 3 road series, come home, do the little 2-game set against the Rangers. They win that, sweep that. What if they can take the series against Chicago? What if they can take 3 of 4? If they can take 3 of 4 from the White Sox, who are the best team in the American League, watch out. The pitching has started to stabilize. They're having a wealth of talent in the starting rotation. They're going to have to make a decision to move probably someone to the bullpen. But the bullpen is pitching better. It's still not great. Still not where you need it to be. But it's trending in the right direction. And the lineup is absolutely just vicious. Just vicious. So good 4-game series coming up for the Astros against the Chicago White Sox. Of course, you can listen to the entire 4-game series right here on 103.7 The Game. Your home for Houston Astros baseball in Acadiana. And, hey, don't forget, we're also giving away another Astros weekend getaway. We've done it not once, not twice. We've done it not once, but twice already. This is our third time. And if you thought checking out the White Sox coming to town to take on the Astros was big time, this latest Astros weekend getaway, even bigger. Even bigger. You got to go register in the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse right now for a chance to score 4 tickets and a $200 Visa gift card for a chance to see the Astros take on the New York Yankees. That's right. Yankees at Stroh's in Minute Maid Ballpark. That game will be Saturday, July the 10th. So if you want to get four tickets and a $200 Visa gift card to see the Yankees versus the Astros at Minute Maid on Saturday, July the 10th, you got to go sign up right now for the Clubhouse Rewards at 1037thegame.com. It's free to do so. It's easy. And once you do, you'll have the chance to enter to win Astro Weekend Getaway number 3, Yankees versus Astros. And, of course, our Astro Weekend Getaways are powered by Butcher AC, J&J Exterminating, and 1037 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. So Astros continue to roll. You out there listening on your Alexa, on Google Home, on the free 1037 The Game mobile app, or maybe just on the old radio dial, you will continue rolling right along, getting those entries in for that Astros Weekend Getaway. But let's talk a little NBA playoffs while we have some time here. Put the baseball talk on hold just briefly and talk NBA playoffs. I said earlier on today's show that this is one of the more intriguing and entertaining playoffs for the NBA that I can remember in a long time. You're going to have someone win a championship that hasn't won a championship, when I say things like 40 years, or has never won one at all. So you're going to have some new blood hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy. That's a plus for me. I always love seeing that. And these playoffs, which have been marred by injuries, some major, some minor to star players. Is Kawhi Leonard even going to come back for this series, or is he going to come back at all for the playoffs? We don't know his status. The two-time NBA Finals MVP and star for the Los Angeles Clippers. But injuries are playing a role, but these are intriguing series to me. And let's start off in the West. Phoenix already swept. They're headed to the Western Conference Finals. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Chris Paul, who's now in COVID protocols. So are they going to have him? I don't know. You know, if the Clippers don't get Kawhi back, they may be able to hold off the Los Angeles Clippers, the Suns could, in a seven-game series. If it's the Jazz, it may be a little bit more difficult. But that's going to be an issue there. But I love seeing Phoenix in the Western Conference Finals. Clippers last night, without Kawhi Leonard, who's out, had Paul George, of all people, step up in a big way. A guy who nicknamed himself Playoff P, and then it became Pandemic P because of his performances with Oklahoma City and with the Clippers and how bad they've been in the postseason. Guy's a good player. He was never the player he was before he shredded his knee and his leg and that gruesome injury a few years back. He's come back. He's a good player. He's an all-star, but he's not where he was before the injury. But last night, he was absolutely phenomenal. 37 points, 16 rebounds, and a 119-111 win over the Utah Jazz, the top seed in the West. And now the Clippers, even without Kawhi Leonard and having Paul George play wildly inconsistent for this entire series, Paul George steps up last night, gives them the win, and guess what? The Clippers are one win away from advancing to the Western Conference Finals. After starting off this series, once again, second straight playoff series, they've started off 0-2. They now sit with a 3-2 series lead over the number one seed in the Western Conference. And won last night's game without Kawhi Leonard, their leader and their two-time NBA Finals MVP. Phenomenal performance by Paul George. And once again, the Clippers, their big issue has been team chemistry. But they pulled it off last night. They got an actual contribution from Marcus Morris, 25 points. Reggie Jackson, can't believe we're talking about Reggie Jackson, 22 points. But Paul George led the way with 37 as they take a 3-2 lead over the Utah Jazz. The Jazz, meanwhile, struggled. Bogdanović led the way with 32 points. But Donovan Mitchell was not effective. 6-19 shooting. He only scored 21 points. So Clippers up 3-2 now. If you're Phoenix, you'd love to see Utah force a game seven, right? Force a game seven that give you more time to get Chris Paul back and hopefully not have him miss more games. And the other big thing from last night's action, the Atlanta Hawks. They stole game one. Philly responded. You're like, oh, this is fine. The 76ers are going to win this series. They go into Philadelphia last night and beat the 76ers 109-106. Trae Young goes off for 39 points. I said it before. For Atlanta to win this series, Trae Young's going to have to score you around 40 points. He gets you 39 last night. Joel Embiid had 37, 13, and 5. What a great stat line by him. He's an absolute stud. Even when he's hobbled on a partially torn meniscus, he still goes out there and gets you that. But look at the rest of the 76ers. Tobias Harris gave them 4 points. 2 of 11 shooting. Ben Simmons gave them 8. How are you a guard in this league and you're only shooting the ball 8 times? 8 times? Four shots. He scored 8 points and only attempted 4 shots. How's that a winning formula? Got to get more from Ben Simmons. Got to get more from Tobias Harris. 76ers now trail this series 3-2. So the Atlanta Hawks are 1 win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. And you know what? I'm here for all the chaos, and I'm here for all the new blood. I love it. I may be one of the minorities, but I absolutely love it. We got to take a timeout. More RP3 and Company coming up right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game, simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS. Before we update the poll question of the day to wrap up hour number two, I want to tell you about home renovation projects. Ours is getting to the finish line. Thank you, in case you were wondering. Wife is laying down tile today over at the Parch compound. Bathroom could be done as early as next week. Could have the final thing of installing the new state-of-the-art toilet. So we're excited. It's exciting, but it can be a struggle. It can be extremely stressful process, right? You've heard the nightmare stories out there. Home renovations gone wrong. Hell, there's even a bunch of shows about people coming and fixing bad home renovations. Avoid those nightmares. If you want to avoid those nightmares and have like a dream renovation project, you need to go check out my friends at Lafayette Marble and Granite. Chris and his team are one of the best in the business. They just wanted an opportunity to earn my business. They listen to the show. They listen to me talk about home renovations. He listens. He listens to 103.7 The Game. Hit me up. We got connected because of that. We were struggling to find the right granite for our bathroom remodel. Finally put our mind at ease. We went to see Chris. He just wanted to have the opportunity to earn our business, and that they did. Professionalism, timeliness, execution. My wife could not find people to give her the granite she wanted, the way she wanted it cut, very precise. Chris and his people at Lafayette Marble and Granite did just that. They have live inventory at their website. Go check them out, lmgelite.com. That's lmgelite.com for all your home renovation needs. You got a bathroom, you got a man cave, you got a kitchen. We're doing our kitchen remodel next year. Guess who's going to do it for us with our countertops? Lafayette Marble and Granite. Go check them out at lmgelite.com or visit them in their showroom located on I-49 North across from Hub City Ford in the Jockey Lot. Poll question of the day. It's up. 50% of you say no, that ship has sailed when it comes to your faith that David Griffin can turn the Pelicans around. What about Les East? What will he say from CrescentCitySports.com? We'll talk to him next right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. Hour number three has arrived here at RP3 and Company. We're excited. We're having a good time here in the First South Farm Credit Studios. I'm your host, Raymond Parks III, better known as RP3. And my producer is Nick Diaz. He joins me. Bold and daring. Horizontal stripes. My man pulls it off nicely, by the way. He's what I call dapper. We're also learning a bit about each other. It's a partnership, right? It's developing every day. We work together. The show gets better and better. Also, Nick's learning things about me that probably he did not realize during the hiring process, like the fact that I like to burst out into song when we come out of a break. Sometimes I also like to dance at the desk or dance in the studio. You wouldn't think a guy that is big, bald, and beautiful, that has no rhythm and can't sing, would do those things, but I do. It's a big surprise. It's an adjustment for our guy, Nick, and one that he's taking in stride. I appreciate you for doing that, bud. Thank you.
You're like that guy on American Idol. You just can't, just shows up. Nobody told him the truth.
You got to be comfortable in your own skin. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the biggest thing, confidence. Yeah. You got to be comfortable in your own skin. You know? I think about that all the time. I was confident when I was dating my wife.
There you go.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm married up. I'm not making no bones about that. Got the upgrade, right?
There you go.
I married up. You know how I was able to do that?
Confidence.
There you go. Got to have confidence in anything you do in life. Whether it's being on the air, whether it's dating a woman that you hopefully will make into your wife, whether it's being a snazzy dresser, a dapper individual like yourself. Confidence is something that's lacking right now in New Orleans. Because I'm not for sure David Griffin has any confidence in his abilities, or rather, we don't. Once again, Griff parts ways with Stan Van Gundy. His first 2 years at the helm as the man in charge of basketball operations for the New Orleans Pelicans has been, what's the word I'm looking for here? Disappointment? No, that sounds too passive. Failure? How about a flaming dumpster fire? NBA has gifted you playoff appearances not once but twice. You couldn't make it happen. You fired not one but two coaches. You brought in vets that were not productive. See Derek Favors. See J.J. Redick. See Steven Adams. See Eric Bledsoe. Oh. And then he has the press conference yesterday, which once again, David Griffin loves riding the line, loves not being... I've heard comments, David Griffin loves David Griffin. And we keep hearing reports that he wants to have his hands all over coaching as well. That's why he wanted Ty Lue. Ty Lue's a yes man. He said yes man to LeBron James. He said yes man to David Griffin in Cleveland. That's what he's doing now in the Clippers. My patience would not be tested and Pelicans fans would not be tested if David Griffin actually had a vision. And the only thing I took from yesterday's press conference is that Teresa Witherspoon, even though the players love her and fight for her and go through a brick wall for her, she's not a legit candidate for the head coaching vacancy. That's the only thing I took away from yesterday's press conference. The rest of it was David Griffin gibberish and indecisiveness and no vision yet again. Entering year three with Zion Williamson, face of the league, and the man in charge of the team has no vision on what the team is supposed to be or what it's going to look like or what they're going to do. Not great. Not great at all. To talk more about that is our next guest. He's the award-winning columnist and reporter for CrescentCitySports.com, among others. It's our good friend, the one and only Les East. Les, good morning to you, brother. How you doing this morning, my man?
Doing well, Raymond. How are you?
Look, I'm busting out dance moves and doing some vocal stylings for the new producer. So I'm doing great, bud. Couldn't be better.
Well, that's pretty good that you can find reason to dance amid all of the Pelicans dumpster fire.
All right. Look, not totally surprised that he parts ways with Stan Van Gundy, rather. My issue is this. Stan Van Gundy is who he is, Les. The Stan Van Gundy that coached the Miami Heat to the Eastern Conference Finals, but didn't get along with Shaq and got pushed out of town for Pat Riley to win another championship. The Stan Van Gundy that helped develop young players like Dwight Howard and Jameer Nelson with Orlando, led them to an NBA Finals, but things didn't work out with him and Dwight Howard. And then the guy who was, let's be honest, at best mediocre in Detroit. Look, Stan Van Gundy, who is Stan Van Gundy is? He knows who he hired, Les. He let Alvin Gentry be the coach for another year because he knew him, because they worked together in Phoenix. It didn't work out. How is he not getting it right with the coaches of the Pelicans? We're going to be on coach number three in the third season of the David Griffin era.
Well, I don't know, and I wrote about this at CrescentCitySports.com yesterday, and I think you and I are pretty much on the same wavelength here. My lead was that he's running out of mulligans. I mean, he has made four major decisions regarding the head coach, and he's only been here a little more than 2 years, and he hadn't gotten anything right yet. He extended Gentry coming off a bad season and three bad seasons in 4 years, and he got a fourth bad season in 5 years out of that. So he fired him, which wasn't necessarily a bad move at the time when he fired Gentry after last season. But you don't judge a dismissal of a coach until you see how the successor does. And Gentry's successor lasted 8 months. And as you pointed out, there were no surprises there. He did a good job in Orlando and Miami for the most part, if you just go by the one loss record. But you were kinder than I was about his tenure in Detroit. I call it a disaster. And the fact that he had trouble with the players is not something new. His ability to communicate with them, his ability to get them to play the way he wants them to play, never really worked. And that was obvious last season. He was very open during the season, talking about the players' lack of effort at times, their lack of basketball IQ at times. And it just never worked out, and it's not inconsistent with what people could have anticipated at the time of the hiring. And so here they are once again looking for another head coach, and it's time that he gets it right, or the blame is going to have to fall squarely on him, and we're going to have to be talking about a general manager search in the not-too-distant future if he doesn't get this next hire right.
On top of that, Les, my frustration is, what's the vision? Like, I've listened to numerous press conferences. Yesterday was another example. The only thing I took away from yesterday's press conference is that Teaspoon, Teresa Weatherspoon, who, by the way, the players love and would go through a brick wall for and respect her immensely, when they bring her up in interviews unprompted, that tells me everything I need to know about the impact that she has on them, right? But what's the vision? What's the vision of this team? I don't know what it is, Les. It's your two seasons are in the books, and I have no idea what David Griffin's vision is for this franchise.
Well, I'm not sure he's figured it out precisely. I mean, obviously it's going to be built around Zion Williamson, and obviously he's a unique talent. You know, last year they kind of tapped into the point Zion phenomenon, which was mostly good, although there were some growing pains there. And, you know, how they put the pieces around a unique talent is something I don't think he has figured out yet. He tried to go with a defensive-minded coach in Van Gundy, thinking that was the way to build this team. And theoretically, that's not necessarily a bad idea, but it didn't work. Van Gundy, for the whatever success he's had in other places as a defensive coach, could not get this group of players to buy into how he wanted them to play defense. Now, some of that may be shortcomings on the players' part. It may also be a shortcoming on Griffin's part for trying to match personnel with the coaching style and personality. So that didn't work. And so, and as you mentioned, the veterans they brought in over the last 2 years have mostly been bad fits or failures in some other regard. So I don't know what the vision is either, other than they have some young talent to work with. Not only is Zion Williamson everything he was billed to be and probably more. We saw Nickeil Alexander-Walker. We saw Jackson Hayes both show an awful lot of ability down the stretch last season. And Kyra Lewis was a nice draft choice who might be a good player going forward. But they still have to decide what to do with Lonzo Ball. They still have to figure out, was Brandon Ingram's erratic season last year Stan Van Gundy's fault, or was it Brandon Ingram's fault because he tuned out the coach? So there are a lot of unanswered questions, and at this point I couldn't tell you what the vision is. Presumably the hire, whoever it is, will give us some insight into what the vision is. Whether or not that proves to be the right vision or not is something we'll learn down the road.
We're talking with Les East, the award-winning columnist reporter for CrescentCitySports.com. He joins us here on RP3 and Company. All right, brother, I brought this up earlier, and it's something I've felt for a little while. You know, perception is reality, right, in any business, in any walk of life. And when they brought in David Griffin, the perception was, hey, this is a guy that's kind of a genius, a savant. He was found in college. He was mentored by Jerry Colangelo and Danny Ainge. He spent 20 years with the Suns, and then look at all the success he had with the Cavs. But it's not just that on the surface, right? I mean, you're talking, he was part of the front office of the Cleveland Cavaliers where they were awful after LeBron James left. He was part of the front office that drafted Anthony Bennett, number one overall, one of the worst busts of all time. And they had a great run in Cleveland, and I give him credit for pulling off the Kevin Love trade, trading Wiggins and then picks to get Kevin Love to give LeBron James his number three, his Chris Bosh, so to speak, in Cleveland. But have we given David Griffin too much credit for LeBron James making the decision by LeBron James to go home to Cleveland?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I mean, the reason, the number one reason the Cleveland Cavaliers finally won a national an NBA championship and finally brought a championship to Cleveland for the first time, I think, since the Browns in like 1960 or thereabouts, is because of LeBron James. The number two reason was Kyrie Irving. And David Griffin had his fingerprints on that, and deserves credit not only for that, but for having a pretty good run in Phoenix as well. He did a lot of good things. But I think you're right. I think some of us, and I may be guilty of this as well, is in the hiring of David Griffin and in the early stages of him trying to build this franchise with the Anthony Davis trade and with some of the maneuvering in the draft, there was an almost exclusive focus on the good things he had done and maybe not enough scrutiny on the things that did not work out. And there were some of those, and you just listed them. It looks like Alexander Walker and Hayes were good draft choices. Kyrie Lewis looks like a good draft choice. They have a lot of number one picks, 14 in 7 years or something coming up. So they still have other assets to play with. And so he's done some good things in creating an opportunity for this franchise to be successful, to have sustained success, as he says. But they are also being held back by some bad decisions he's made. And that's not inconsistent with his track record coming here. And maybe the negative stuff wasn't scrutinized as much as it could have been previously, and now I think more of that is going to happen going forward.
Les, do you worry at all that he's going to take a mentor's approach with those picks? He's going to take the Danny Ainge approach of compiling picks, and then not using them? Because I have that fear that he has all these picks, right, for the next 7 to 10 years. That's great. The Bucks and Lakers are going to be good for the next 3 to 4 years, so those picks really aren't going to be that great of value right now, but maybe you could flip them into trading for a player, okay? So it gives you some flexibility. I like that. But towards the tail end of Danny Ainge's tenure in Boston, he sat on picks and didn't use them, right? And it didn't pay off. Yeah, Griff is a Danny Ainge guy. Any concern there that we're trending in that kind of direction with the compiling of all those assets?
I don't know. We'll see. I think he understands the flexibility that he has with those picks. I think that's one of the main reasons he acquired them, is because they had the ability to be patient and draft young players and watch them develop together. but they also had the opportunity to package some of those picks to make trades, to bring in young but already established players who can kind of lead the way for the younger players. So I think he recognizes that the flexibility that he has is one of the biggest assets with all of those draft choices, and that he will look to use them in the best way. And using the draft picks to select players and using them to make trades are both viable options. And I suspect he will look at both of those and do what he thinks is best. But in the meantime, he's got to do a better job. The drafting looks pretty good to this point, but he's got to do a better job of supplementing those young players with veterans who are going to accelerate their development than he has done thus far, because the veterans he's brought in to this point have not done what he had hoped they would do.
Les, appreciate your time, your analysis, and your insight as always, brother. Keep the tremendous work that you're doing with CrescentCitySports.com. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Raymond. Go Reds.
There it is. Cincinnati Red fan, Les East. Number one Cincinnati Red fan of RP3 and company family. Hey, it's time to get back out there and watch some great live music. You can do so right here in Acadiana with Swamp and Roll at Black Gold Casino in Doosan. That's right. Richard LaBeouf and Two Step are going to be taking the stage on Wednesday, June 23rd. Don't want to miss that show. Also, don't forget to catch the replay of the show the following Thursday at 6 p.m. on KDCG. Uniquely Acadiana, Swamp and Roll returns Wednesday, June 23rd. Richard LaBeouf and Two Step, you got to go check it out over there in Doosan at Black Gold Casino. We're going to take a timeout when we return, our favorite segment of the week, to tweet or not to tweet. It's up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Today is Thursday, June 17th. It's a good day. You've started it off with listening to RP3 and Company. Let's be honest. The best sports talk show in Acadiana featuring a big, bald, and beautiful man named Raymond Parts III. Boom. Check it off. Already starting off the day on a great foot. You're trending towards having an excellent weekend. Why not make it better? I know what you're thinking. Right. How can we do that? We're listening to you already. It's already peak. It's all going to go downhill from here. Not true. Take some time out of your busy morning and sign up for the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse. Once you do that, my friend, it's going to be even better for you. Day's going to get better. Because once you sign up for the Clubhouse, which is free to do so, by the way, you're going to have the opportunity to enter to win great stuff. And I'm not talking tiddlywinks here. I'm not talking Paul Ballin stuff. I'm talking great stuff, amazing stuff, like a $150 gift certificate to Mr. Lester's Steakhouse down at Cypress Bayou. While you're in the clubhouse, you can also enter to win a $25 gift certificate to Mabel's Kitchen, also at Cypress Bayou. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't love winning free stuff? Go enjoy a great meal. Go have a good time down at Cypress Bayou. Treat your wife. Treat your girlfriend. Treat your boyfriend. I don't care. Don't matter to me. Treat your best friend. Treat the movers that helped you move into your new apartment. That's something Nick could do. It does not matter. But he can't win. You can. Go sign up for the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com so you can have the opportunity to enter to win a $150 gift certificate to Mr. Lester's Steakhouse and a $25 gift certificate to Mabel's Kitchen. Go do so today. It's free to do so. You have something to say, Mr. Diaz? I see. You're prompted. You're ready to go.
Nope. I wasn't going to say anything. I was just getting prepared.
I like that.
Something special.
It's all business. Mm-hmm. It's all business with you.
Yep.
All business. No tomfoolery. I bring enough of that to the table. You're like, no, I'm not bringing that. Someone's got to be a pro here. Is that that's the stance you're taking?
We believe in balance on the show. Life's all about balance.
You have a lot of experience with that producing Tiger Ag. Jeff Palermo, what a diva.
And then you add the Mad Dog.
Oh, you had to deal with Palermo, Mad Dog, and sometimes William Weathers. Very reserved. You're like, oh, nothing. William, wild man.
You got to watch out for those quiet ones.
It's time now, though, for us. Look, it's time for us to discuss what people do on social media, right or wrong. It's time for our favorite segment of the week.
To tweet or not to tweet. They say you should think before you hit send.
That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
But as we know, so many do not.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
But we're not complaining. It's time for tweet or not to tweet on RP3 and Company.
What we got, bud? What are we leading off with this morning?
We are leading off with tweets. Let's do some David Griffin tweets.
Oh,
you know those were flying all
over. That's
going to
be
place.
The gift that just keeps on giving.
So, Chris Connor.
And giving.
He tweets out, me. Hey, Griff, you want food? Griff, it's not that I want food. It's that the hunger inside of all of us scream best when unaccounted for. I think it's best to address your appetite when the time is right. Dude, I was just asking if you were hungry, bro. And then someone asked, hey, Griff, you going to the game? Griff, where one is truly at is not dictated by the location of his body in the present, but it's shaped by one's surroundings more and more every day. Dude, I just want to know if you're going to the game.
Give credit to who did this again.
This was Chris Connor. And then someone commented on the asking if they were going to the game, Greco.
Shout out to both of them. Those are tremendous tweets. And that's exactly a great representation of what David Griffin brings to the table at a press conference. You ask him directly, Griff, what are you having for lunch? And he goes on to a 10-minute tangent about recycling or whatever it might be. It's never a straight answer with this guy. Never. Never.
Sometimes it's simplicity is the best medicine for success.
I just want you. He's, you know, years ago, I was a film critic for about 3 years. And I never took the stance of being the film critic that looks up really, you know, words that are not used that much to make themselves sound smarter. You're breaking down the Fast and the Furious franchise. I don't need you to go pull the thesaurus out, okay? Just write something straightforward to the point. I never took that approach. But David Griffin is like those film critics that want to sound like they're the smartest individual in the room and that they're so much smarter than you. And it just comes off as just so disingenuous. And first of all, And then he doesn't back it up with success.
Yeah. Winning cures all, and he ain't winning. So this one, do a little LSU coaching search. Mike Scarborough, who is...
That's Tiger Bait, right?
Yeah, Tiger Bait guy. He said, I'm immediately skeptical of any coaching candidate who wears a flat bill ball cap, already operating at a deficit.
That's the style. I don't like wearing the flat bill. When I get a new cap, I usually get one once a year. I'll get a cap, and I always bend the bill. I always do.
Yeah.
Sometimes put it in the back where you know you put the hat together. I form it. I like having my bill. That's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the flat bill hats. A lot of people are. A lot of younger guys are. Not knocking it. It's your thing. Get after it. Got nothing but love for you. But your man RP3, I gotta.
Well,
I say to tweet that.
Maybe not to tweet for me, because I mean he's probably just joking. He's probably just being silly. But also
facetious.
Facetious.
That's a big fancy word to say.
There we go.
Say sarcastic.
No, I mean I say if someone who takes that seriously, because some people on the bottom really did. I'd say that that's kind of the old guard that LSU is dealing with in their coaching search right now, which is why Tony Vitello had zero interest in a guy like Tony Vitello, supposedly, because they hadn't heard one report about LSU being interested in him because he's too new school.
There it is.
I just had to get that off my chest. Another quick, let's do this really quickly. Podcat on In the Valley Shook, former editor, I believe, of In the Valley Shook.
That's correct.
Podcat.
Great tweeter, by the way.
Great tweeter. He had two ones, but let's start off with the LSU coaching search. Mike Bianco's 20-year undercover. Okay, sorry. I need to start this over again. Mike Bianco's 20-year undercover mission to make Ole Miss baseball good, but not too good, is finally complete. Time to bring him home.
It's a tough place to coach.
Yes,
but he's done great. What, 14 NCAA postseason appearances, one college World Series trip, yes, four or five super regionals. Ole Miss is in the shadow of Mississippi State when it comes to baseball, but that is a hell of a tweet, and always can count on Podcat for that.
Another one, Podcat was on fire this week. So the LSU Veterinary School, Medicine School, whatever, tweeted out, "We are excited to announce Oliver Garden as the new dean of the LSU School of Veterinary Medicine." And Podcat retweeted, "Mike the Tiger is about to get so many breadsticks."
It's a very simple joke, but it works.
The joke in that situation wrote itself.
It just wrote itself.
Mm-hmm. We'll do one more. This is not so much a joke as it is news. Brett McMurphy of the Stadium Network.
Oh, that's right.
No joke. He says, no joke. The new Los Angeles Bowl will be named the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl. It will be held at SoFi Stadium, featuring Mountain West's number one selection and Pac-12's number five selection. Someone, hold on, let me find it. Where is it? Oh my gosh. Okay. Dan Lowe tweeted, "It's still a joke, even if it's true."
I think Jimmy Kimmel went to San Diego State.
No, he graduated from UNLV.
UNLV, I apologize.
He's from Vegas. He's a Vegas guy.
There you go.
Tweets of the week.
To all of them to tweet. We got to take a timeout. Ran a little long there. That's not a problem. Made some quality stuff to get to. Coming up, more quality coming to your ears and your eyes if you're watching us on the simulcast. David Grubb from Hard in the Paint Podcast joins us live next. Going to talk NBA playoffs and Pelicans mess. You got to make sure to tune in Saturday for 103.7 The Game's lineup of live and local shows. It all kicks off like it always do every Saturday morning with First Cup presented by Bailey Cigar Room. That's going to run from 7 to 9. Ooh, what does the professor have up his sleeve? What's on the professor's lesson plan, if you will, for Saturday? Well, he's going to have Acadiana Cane Cutters owner Richard Chalmers on as his special guest. I've talked to Mr. Chalmers a few times. Very nice gentleman. Good interview, by the way. So that should be definitely interesting to check out Saturday morning. After the professor wraps up with First Cup presented by Bailey Cigar Room, you're going to have Under the Dome with CD from 9 to 11. So make sure to tune in this Saturday for 103.7 The Game's exciting local and live lineup. Don't forget to vote on our poll question of the day. We want to hear from you. Do you have any faith whatsoever in David Griffin? Sorry, good. I couldn't laugh when I tried to get out the poll question of the day because we know how I feel. I've expressed it in not so kind words this morning, this season, the past 2 years. Poll question of the day, though, do you have faith that David Griffin can turn the Pelicans around? 49% of you share my sentiment and say, no, that ship has sailed. 32% say maybe if he has a vision. Memo to everyone, he does not. And 19% say, yes, he needs more time. Keep those votes coming. Keep those comments coming as well on Facebook and Twitter at 103.7 The Game. Right now, though, we're going to talk NBA playoffs, and we're also going to talk the mess that is the New Orleans Pelicans with our guy from the Hard in the Paint podcast, the one and only David Grubb. David, good morning to you, bud. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a busy 24 hours, but I'm having fun with it.
You know, yesterday I made a joke to a buddy of mine. You know, yesterday I had to go to the DMV, which is always an adventure. Shout out to them. They work hard. They work hard for that money. And had to go to the DMV, and then afterwards I had to go to my doctor's office as a walk-in because I was a little under the weather. And that's how I spent my afternoon, which is not optimal. But I do believe New Orleans Pelicans fans probably had a worse day than I did yesterday afternoon. What do you make of a guy that David Griffin beat the table about saying, this is our guy, this is our guy, this is our guy, to not even lasting a full year before being fired.
And let's take it all in context. So David Griffin gets the job. He has an opportunity to start with a clean slate, do whatever he wants. He's been given carte blanche by the organization.
That's right. Green light for however he wants to run it.
However you want to do it. There so it the is. First thing you do is you keep Alvin Gentry. So if that's your decision, again, these are the decisions you make, but you fire him after 1 year.
There it is.
It wasn't the way we wanted to go. COVID season, Zion being hurt, all those things, that don't matter. Alvin wasn't the direction we wanted to go in. We're letting him go after a year.
Because, David, obviously Alvin Gentry was changing as a coach, being the oldest coach in the league at that time. We expected him to be a whole different person and not the person that David Griffin knew in Phoenix, right? I mean, obviously.
Right. So.
Continue. I'm sorry.
You go through that. Then you say, okay, now we're going to get us a coach. We need a coach that's going to get us discipline, and we need defensive mindedness.
That's right. No one's punking the New Orleans Pelicans. No one.
Toughness. We're going to be a team. And people got to reckon with. And you get Stan. You finish one game better. The defense was the worst in the league for half the season. And then
you still got a little
better at the end. You saw some player development, but you finished one game better. And 2 weeks ago, you're saying, Stan's the only one who came in the interview and saw Point Zion. Stan is the one who saw this. Stan was, and now we have these philosophical differences. We don't see the direction the same. Well, what happened? What happens? No relationship falls apart that fast. I think Chris Rock said a long time ago, when you break up, you've been breaking up half as long as you've been together. So clearly, David Griffin had something on his mind a while ago that this was just, I think, you know, self-preservation, that 2 years in, he's wasted 2 years of Zion Williamson's career. They have not gotten to the playoffs in an expanded league where you're 10 out of 15 teams in each conference get in. You can't get in.
They gifted them the path, especially with the schedule 2 years ago in the bubble, David.
And their second half schedule this year was a gift. So you get those things and all the other gifts, like it's Hanukkah all year long for David Griffin. It's 365 days of gifts. And my man has got you, like I said, politics, what do they ask you when you go to vote? Are you better off than you were 2 years ago? The Pelicans fans feel better off than were 2 years ago.
I can't believe we're here and the franchise has not improved. It's gotten worse since Dale Demps left. And I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that fact. We're talking with David Grubb, host of Hard in the Paint podcast. All right, bud, there have been some good things that have been done. He's drafted well. I will give him that. We're seeing the potential from Jackson Hayes and Nickeil Alexander-Walker this year. But here's my thing about that, and I love Kyra Lewis. You know that. We've talked about him a lot on the show. Here's my issue with that. The message isn't clear. You draft these guys, but then they don't, A, get the necessary reps to develop because we've dealt with COVID and how that's impacted the offseason. So there's not getting necessary reps. And here's the other thing. So last season, Brandon Ingram finally flourishes, right? B.I. flourishes with Alvin Gentry. He finally found his coach and that got the best version of B.I. to come out. He becomes an all-star for the first time. He gets the max contract. You change coaches. He and Stan Van are not on the same page. B.I. regressed this year slightly, okay? Now, maybe is that trying to figure out how to play with Zion or figuring out how to be in the offense of Stan Van. But still, you made a decision as a front office to get rid of the coach that helped B.I., a guy that you got in a trade haul as a foundation piece he thrived in. Now we go to this season. I give credit to Stan Van Gundy. He pushed, challenged Jackson Hayes to be more of a professional, be less immature. He benched him, and guess what? It worked. Second half of the season, he was great for him, right? You can see a path where he's developing. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who was benched by Alvin Gentry a year ago, sent down to the G League. He comes in, gets tough coaching by Stan Van Gundy. Guess what? He thrives. He gets better. But now you're changing coaches yet again. So now we got back-to-back seasons where young players have come in, they've developed, found themselves finally by their coach, and now we're changing coaches again. How is that not counterproductive to what you're doing as a franchise moving forward.
Yeah, what signal have you sent to the league and to your team? Because you and I, look, I used to work in state government. And one of the things that you knew about people who work in state government is that at some point they figure out, I'm going to be here longer than any governor, any person who gets to hold office. And players start figuring those kind of things out too. That if the coach is not going to be around very long, then I have to play for me. And that changes the whole culture of your team when you're talking about building a family and sustainable success. But if you keep changing coaches all the time, and even if you're trying to correct a mistake, and people say, well, give Griff credit for correcting a mistake. A, don't make that mistake. Stop making bad hires.
He's getting paid to make the hire. I'm not going to give him credit for realizing that he made a mistake. He was in charge of said mistake.
You did it twice. So you don't get credit for, I spilt the milk, let me clean up. Oh, good job on cleaning up that milk. Don't spill the milk. So you get that and you create a culture. If you're a coach on the outside, do you think if things go bad, that you might not be the one who's thrown under the bus? Because you've seen 2 years now. Because every coach has looked at Alvin's situation and said, he didn't have Zion for 50 games. And you judged him on that. You didn't give him his best player for 50 games, and you judged him on that. So fair or unfair, that's how coaches look at it. Then they say, well, you brought in Stan. And Stan's record shows that he gets better year after year. His defenses get better. You said you wanted the things that he wanted. You said he's the only coach who saw these things. And after a year, you get rid of him. So are you going to feel that you're going to get that unnecessary support from that front office? Or is this about David Griffin? And I think that's the ultimate conversation we're having now, because the Pelicans have talent. The Pelicans have disjointed and mismatched talent, but they have that. They have the opportunity to get more. But all of those decisions are in David Griffin's hands. And right now, how much trust do you have in him to make the right decision? Because a lot of these, you know, you can say, well, in the drafting, well, you drafted in the lottery. You should pick something decent there. But now you're going into year three with Zion Williamson. He's impatient, clearly. The fans are impatient, clearly. And I wonder how many times Gail Benson is going to keep going into her pocketbook to write checks for people who ain't working.
Oh, we're wrapping up our conversation with our guy David Grubb from Hard in the Paint podcast. All right, bud, let's talk briefly a little bit about the NBA playoffs. We'll get off the Pelicans and the dumpster fire that they are. This is, for me, one of the more interesting postseasons in recent memory. We know we're going to crown a champion that we haven't crowned in the past 40 years, or a team that has never won the Larry O'Brien Trophy. That intrigues me right off the bat. And I see these series, and I see Atlanta last night taking a 3-2 lead after being down by 26 points in Philadelphia. I see that. I'm intrigued by that series. I'm intrigued by the Clippers. Paul George actually playing well without Kawhi Leonard, who we don't know when he's going to come back. Where do you make right now of the conference semifinals that are remaining?
I think Atlanta's the best team in the East, if healthy, right now. Because I don't know if Brooklyn will ever be fully healthy. I think Atlanta has the best coach of the four teams remaining in the East. I think they're tough. They can play fast. They can play in the half court. And they have
just like their coach did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they have a supremely confident player, Trae Young, in the West. It depends on how long Chris Paul is out. If Chris Paul's back in time, I think Phoenix is the best team in the West. So right now, if you ask me, I say Phoenix and Atlanta.
Who wins the Clippers-Jazz series?
I think it's going to have to be the Clippers now. I don't know if the Jazz, without Mike Conley, are going to be able to do enough offensively. You can't just count on Donovan Mitchell. Somebody else has to step up. But it feels like this is the Clippers series now after they've taken these last two games. Utah had it, and they let it go.
That's a good point, bud. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Enjoy your weekend, sir. Brother. That's David Grubb. He's the host of Hard in the Paint podcast. Go check that out when you get an opportunity as well. We got to take a timeout, wrap up today's show, update the poll question of the day, get you set up for footnotes. That's all coming up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Before we sign off today, I want to take a moment to thank our guests, David Grubb from the Heart in the Paint podcast, Les East from CrescentCitySports.com, and John Marquez from the Town Talk on thetowntalk.com. Final results for the poll question of the day. Do you have faith that David Griffin can turn the Pelicans around? 48% say no, that ship has sailed. 34% say maybe if he has a vision. Only 18% of you say yes, he needs more time. Let's look at some additional comments here on Twitter. Our guy Darren, number one Raging Cajun fan of RP3 and company. Also, I've been saying this for 2 years. Zion was a can't-miss number one pick. He was still and still is box office, but his ceiling is a better Blake Griffin, in my opinion. I know you had Ball, but I think you should have taken John Morant. Look at Memphis right now. Oh, that's a discussion for another day. The bringing up discussion points for another day. Todd on Twitter says, if he would bother to do the research on players and if he would bother to bring in complimentary players to his young stars and if he would stop trading good players for not as good players, maybe. What we need is a core of young players who want to show out and vets to lead. That's a tremendous comment there by Ton. Whew. We'll see what happens with the Pelicans moving forward. That's going to do it for today's RP3 and Company. We'll do it all again tomorrow, 6 to 9. We'll try to do it better, close out the week strong. For the producer, Nick Diaz, I'm Raymond Parch III, better known as RP3. We'll do it all again tomorrow, 6 to 9. But until then, be safe out there. Be kind to one another. Footnotes with Kevin Foots up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.